Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, I'll be joined by Cara O'Donovan. After a successful career in kickboxing, winning multiple world, European and national championships, Cara has recently made the switch to karate and has since won several national titles. And I'm delighted to say that Cara is joining us on the line now on the show. Cara, how are you today? Thanks so much for joining me on the show.
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on.
So, Cara, you've a busy couple of months coming up. I understand you're flying out to Denmark near the weekend, and you've the European Championships coming up next month. It must be an exciting time now coming up in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, it's very exciting because this will be like the competition in Copenhagen this again. This is my first one now in nearly a year, so I've been like out of action for a while, so to be back now, and then I got selected for the European Championships next month in Baku. So it's busy, like I'm training hard, but it's also really exciting, and even to get that opportunity again to represent Ireland, I'm absolutely buzzing for it, so can't wait.
Yeah, and I understand you had some injury problems last year. What was the nature of the injury, and how long were you out of action for?
So the injury was, initially they thought it was a stress fracture in my ankle, but it turned out that it was actually a rare kind of autoimmune disease, so it meant that it was a tumour in my ankle, and it had eaten away all of the ligament and the cartilage, so I had to get a donor for cartilage, which came from my knee, and that meant an operation on the knee, and then I had to kind of get my ankle rebroken on both sides and patched up again, so it was like a fairly what looked like it was going to be a 6 week out job turned into almost a year. It was tough.
Yeah, and how frustrating, I imagine it, because you're so, I remember when I was talking to you last time, you're so looking forward to, you're so enjoying the switch over to karate. How frustrating of a time was that for you? And how did you get the mental strength just to kind of keep going and kind of ultimately look at the end goal?
You know, it was really difficult. I never anticipated that it was going to be as difficult as it was, and physically it was sore, but mentally it was like 100 times worse, because I've had illness and I've had injury, but never to that extent, never where it looks like this was going to be the end of it all. So that was kind of the only thing that actually kept me going, was the fact that I could get back in time for this year. It's kind of been a big eye-opener for me, because I know now, like I'm 35 now, so I'll probably retire in the next couple of years, so I need to start putting things into place to give me something else to kind of challenge myself with, because the 9 or 10 months where I just could do nothing, only kind of do physio and stuff, that nearly, like mentally nearly killed me, because I'm so used to training. It's just something you do instinctively every single day, or you're always pushing for the next goal in your sport. So when that's just like literally you wake up one morning, that's gone, it's a very hard adjustment. And there's not really a lot of people, you know, maybe more athletes are talking about it, but I didn't really know how to cope. I definitely didn't have the skill set then. So it was a learning experience. But like at the same time, I think I'm one of the lucky ones that did get back. Even I don't know if I'm going to be any good. I think next weekend will be a good test of where I'm at physically and whether I'm still going to challenge in the sport. But at least I get that opportunity. So I know I'm very lucky.
Yeah, and karate, of course, is an Olympic sport for the first time. And you mentioned there you'll be testing yourself this weekend. What is the qualification process now for you to try and qualify for the Olympics?
Yeah, so there's still a chance left. So there's two kind of routes that you can take to qualify. And the first one would have been through world ranking, where you kind of, you travel over the period, I think it was about 18 months, and you collect ranking points, and whoever is kind of at the top four in my weight category get to go. So that way is like completely gone, because I haven't competed. My world ranking is just like, I'm afraid to even look at it, but I know it was way too low to even, you know, be respectful in any way. But the other opportunity then is there's one world qualification tournament in May, and that's in Paris. So I haven't been selected just yet for that. The team hasn't been announced. But that's my goal, you know, this year. And I'll be challenging for the minus 61 kilo spot. So hopefully, I guess it'll all go off how I get on this weekend and also how I do in, at the European Championships. And then fitness as well. So, you know, like obviously making sure I don't get injured again and trying to manage the injury because I'm still in like a little bit of pain. So if that all goes well, I get that last kind of shot. And it is a long shot, but look, I don't want to have any regrets. So I'm going to do everything I can to get there and see what happens.
Give it your best job. And in terms of training, what sorts of demands, how many days a week would you need to be training just to get yourself, you know, to the right level? Like, what's your training schedule at the moment?
At the minute, it's fairly intense. So I'm training 6 days a week now, and some of those days I'll do double sessions. I'll train morning and evening, but I also have to work. So it's kind of balancing all of that out. And the schedule like is different now than Sarah where I was 6 months ago. Like last summer when I was recovering from this, it was just constant physio, and it was just like really boring. Really, it was kind of stuff that you have to do on your own all the time. And like you can't really cut corners on there because you're only cheating yourself. So it was an awful lot of that stuff in the gym a lot, in the pool. And now I'm back maybe a couple of months, maybe 3 months now doing karate and technical and sparring. And so I love that. Like, so that doesn't even feel like hard work to me. Once I can kick and punch things, it's a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable when you have people around you. So that's kind of the main training I'm doing, and then obviously you're doing your strength and conditioning work too. But then, like say, for example, this week now it won't be as intense because I'm competing at the weekend, and then I'll pick it up for a few weeks before the Europeans again. But yeah, it's pretty much everything's geared around it, like 6 days a week.
Yeah, and to make things, Irish karate kind of hit the headlines last year. There was a split in split and two organisations emerged. Was that a frustrating period for you? Because every athlete just wants to be able to concentrate on their whatever sport there is. But was that kind of just an unnecessary distraction behind the scenes?
Yeah, it wasn't a good time. It was like my whole kind of career in karate has been kind of crazy, really. So since I started, you know, I never got a real good shot at any of these competitions. And what I'm trying to make excuses between the kind of the politics last year and injury this year. So things are looking a little bit better now. But I think that kind of stuff happens in a lot of sports. Yeah. Certainly, I'm starting to see more of it now since that. But I just think it was important for me to kind of stand up for what I felt was right at the time. And that probably did cause extra kind of pressure and issues for me, you know, personally in the sport, because a lot of people don't like when you kind of make a fuss about things. But I think it worked out for the best, and there's a lot of good people in Irish karate now. So hopefully it's kind of been resolved, and you know, we can get back to doing what we love, which is competing. But at the same time, I do feel that, like, as an athlete, if you're kind of in a perfect world, everything would be rosy and things would be great. But the reality is there's issues sometimes in sport, and I think everyone has to do their bit to do what they feel is the right thing. So, it was frustrating, but I'm kind of glad it's come through the other side of it, and I feel good that I kind of stood by what I believed was the right thing to do at the time.
And I was reading a blog post that you wrote. You're basically saying that athletes need a good level of representation in sport, you know, to have a voice. Is that something that you really feel strongly about?
Yeah, like I really do. I mean, it's just, I think there's some really good people that run sport, but the biggest kind of, I guess the biggest stakeholder is in sport, or certainly elite sport, are athletes. And most of the time they don't really decide or have any input into decisions that ultimately affect them. And I do think that while you're maybe former athletes are now administrators, it could be 20 or 30 or even 50 years since they've been an athlete, so it's kind of hard for them to know what issues are impacting them or affecting athletes. So like, I'd love to see athletes get more of an input into the, just the day-to-day or the operations of the sport. And I think a lot of athletes, you know, want that. I mean, I certainly do. And I know that other athletes would too. I know there are certain athletes that just feel that it's not an area that they want to dedicate time to. But, you know, in the long run, I think that should change, and I think it would be better for the sport. It's not to criticise or to, you know, go after the people that are volunteering their time to run sport, because so many people are doing a good job. But I just think to get a better balance, you need to have a diversity of opinion that's kind of making all the decisions in sport, really.
Yeah, and Turner, you mentioned that this year might be your last year in sport. Would sport administration be something that you would be interested in when your competitive career ends?
I don't know about that. Yeah. I definitely think there's an interest for me to get involved in more kind of athlete activism and promoting the athlete voice, whether that becomes administrator in sport, I'm not so sure. I haven't really given it a huge amount of thought. I mean, it's something that I'll definitely have to look at, because I'm kind of on a clock now, really, of how long my body can hold up. And at the same time, I'm getting older, and I'll be 36 this year, so I've had a really good run. Yeah. I mean, you know, even if it came to an end tomorrow, I can't really have any complaints. But maybe I'll have to make a decision of what I'm going to do next. But I'm not 100% certain whether it'll be sports administration. It might just not be for me.
And before I let you go, Cara, we hear a lot about the 2020 campaign, the campaign trying to give more representation for women in media coverage. How do you think things are at present for someone that's involved with a minority sport that probably doesn't get an awful lot of attention? How do you think are sports like yourselves getting enough coverage, and indeed are women's sports in general still not getting enough coverage?
I think there's definitely room for it to grow, and the 2020 campaign has been a really good thing for sport, but I think it's been, for the majority, it's been a very good thing for mainstream sports. I would kind of be on the fence whether it has had an impact down as far as sports like minor or more niche sports or minority sports, because even look at the 20 latest ambassadors. I don't think there's anyone from martial arts or from kind of the sports that wouldn't be part of the main establishment. So I think there's definitely more work to be done on that. And, you know, I also think that as much as, I'm a big fan of the campaign itself, I'd like to see more kind of promotion of different types of characters within women's sports. So a lot of it seems to be just, you know, you're seen and not so much heard, and there's not so much about a different diversity of opinions or personalities. And myself, I would probably be considered more of an outspoken athlete, and a lot of the times as a woman, not just as a woman but as a female athlete, I think you're kind of pushed back a little bit because people don't really want to hear those kind of outspoken things. So I think there's definitely more work to be done. But I definitely think it's been a very good campaign for the more established sports like your rugby or GAA or football. There seems to be getting a huge amount more coverage. And probably could always do it more, but you can't complain about it. It's been a great campaign so far.
Listen, Cara, you've been very very generous with your time. Thanks a million for joining us. Good luck for the weekend, and good luck for next month. It's Baku, isn't it, for the European Championships?
That's it, yeah. That's in the last week of March we're heading over.
Perfect. Listen, best of luck in the next couple of months, and hopefully we'll be all wishing you luck, and we'll have fingers crossed that you'll realise your dream for qualifying for the Olympics.
Yeah, I hope so. And thanks very much for having me on the show. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you. Cara, thanks a mil. Cheers. Thanks
all
a
mil. All right. All the best. Bye-bye.
That was great. That was Cara O'Donovan, who is competing within the sport of karate for Ireland. She's done all there needs to be done in kickboxing, and she's turned her attention now to karate, and we'll be keeping an eye on Cara's fortune over the next couple of months. Just looking ahead before I finish up the show, just a look ahead to some sport to look forward to over the next few days. A really, really busy few days in sport. And we'll just start on in soccer in about 20-30 minutes. The Europa League action will be kicking off. Man United will be away to Bruges. That's a 5-6 kickoff. And Copenhagen hosts a Celtic at 5-6. Other British teams in action include Arsenal, who are away to Olympiacos. That's an 8 p.m. kickoff. And Rangers will host Braga at 8 p.m. And Wolves will host Espanyol at 8 p.m. Tomorrow will be the second round of fixtures of the Irish National League, the League of Ireland, Airtricity League fixtures after the opening weekend last weekend. The fixtures on tomorrow will be a local derby, Northwestern Derby. Derry City will host Finn Harp, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. And a big, big night in Talca Park. Shelburne will host Dundalk. Shelburne have been out of the top division for a few years. So I would say there'll be a massive crowd there at Talca Park to welcome Shelburne back to the big time. Great start for them last weekend when they won 1-0 away to Cork at Turner's Cross. So interesting to see how they get on in that match. The other games in the top division, Sligo will host St Pat's. Waterford will host Bowes, and Shamrock Rovers will host Cork, an 8 p.m. kickoff. And I was down at Dalymount Park last weekend for the big Bowes and Shamrock Rovers game, and all I can say, my hope for this weekend is that the weather will be better. It was a terrible, terrible weather in all over the country, and that game, even the RTE coverage had to be abandoned due to safety concerns. So hopefully this weekend we will have a better weekend for football action. Certainly the weather conditions last weekend did not help at all. The first division in the League of Ireland kicks off this weekend as well. On Friday we have Cabinteely against Bray, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Galway will play at Athlone, 7:45, and Wexford will play UCD. That's a quarter date as well. And the games on Saturday in the first division are Cove and Drogheda, and the final game, a novel pair, in Longford versus Shamrock Rovers B. So that's a U Shamrock Rovers team, B team. Some people in the first division were not happy with that decision, but anyway, the Shamrock Rovers B will kick off their campaign on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. The games on Cross Channel, looking ahead, we have a massive game at 12:30 on Saturday, Chelsea against Spurs. The 3 p.m. kickoffs are Burnley against Spurs, we have Sheffield United against Brighton, Southampton against Aston Villa, Leicester against Man City, and the games on Sunday will be Man United against Watford at 2 p.m. and Wolves and Norwich at 4:30 p.m. Massive weekend in rugby action, kicking off on Friday when England will host the Ireland under-20s. The Irish under-20 team are in great form. They've won all their games, so they'll be hoping to continue that run against the old enemy, England, on Friday. On Saturday in the Six Nations, we will have Italy against Scotland, 2:15 p.m. And the final game for Saturday is Wales and France, 4:45 p.m. And on Sunday, massive double header. We'll have England versus Ireland women's rugby teams clashing at 12:45 p.m. Ireland unbeaten in that so far, 2 wins out of 2. So we'll be looking to win three games. It'll be always tough playing away from home, but see how to do. And of course, in the men's action, a massive match, 3 p.m. Ireland against England. Both Ireland going for the triple crown there. Really, really mouthwatering prospect. Going to be a tough game in Twickenham, but we'll see how it goes. And finally, before we wrap up, we'll just have a quick look at the GAA fixtures. 7 p.m. in Croke Park, under floodlights, Dublin against Donegal on Saturday. The other games on Division 1 on Monday, or on Sunday even, will be Galway against Tyrone, 2 p.m. kickoff, Monaghan against Mayo, Kerry against Meath. And in Division 2, 7 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, Fermanagh will host Cavan, Clare will host Laois, Westmead will host Armagh, 2 p.m. kickoff, and Kildare and Roscommon will kick off 2:30. I was looking at the league tables in both Division 1 and Division 2, and indeed across the divisions there, very, very tight, with a lot of relegation promotion things on the line. So this weekend might kind of clarify issues a lot clearer, make things more clearer, so we might have a better indicator who will be in the frame for promotion and relegation come the end of this weekend. And finally, just looking at the hurling action in 1A, we have Waterford against Galway. These are all on Sunday, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Cork and Limerick at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tipperary, Westmeath, 2 p.m. also on Sunday. And in 1B, these are Saturday games. Dublin will host Wexford and Parnell Park, 5 p.m. Laois and Carlow, 7 p.m. And the Sunday match will be Kilkenny Clare. That's pretty much it for this week. I'd like to sincere word of thanks to my guest Cara O'Donovan, who joined us earlier on the show to talk about her karate career and her upcoming tournaments. Thanks a million for listening. If you want to listen to more sport on Neo FM, tune in at 10:30. Fergus Carroll will be given his usual sports roundup at 10:30. No doubt Fergus will be given a more comprehensive look at that Ireland-England game on Sunday. So that's it for this week. Thanks a million for tuning in. Enjoy your sporting week, and we'll talk to you at the same time next week.